Good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful day, wonderful Wednesday. Great day to be alive. I believe it's December 7, 2011, heading into a magical time of year. Just real excited to be here. You know, today we are fortunate, privileged, blessed to be hearing from a man, an extremely talented man. In fact, we've had a lot of comments over the last week or so, you know, just that they love this man's voice and his the tone that he brings and the passion that he brings to the call. And I have to admit, I feel very fortunate to be working with this individual. I mean, this guy has a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience, has built multi-million dollar businesses, has been a top producer in our industry, national sales trainer, incredible guy, heart of gold, friend of mine, Mr. Bill Hartraft. Are you on the line with me?
Wow, Paul, wow, that was unexpected. Thank you very, very much. Wow, that was an extremely nice introduction. I appreciate all the kind words. You know, I was reading through our reading today, last night and then today, and it kept tripping me up in a couple of areas, and so I had to reread it a few times so I could get it out straight for today. So you're complimenting my tone of my voice and so on. I may be tripping up a little bit today, folks. This read is very involved, and it's called You Are the Master of Your Fate, the Captain of Your Soul. And what's important about this is something that we've talked about in the past. It's about visualizing where you see yourself, and not in just 1 year's time, but down at the end of the road, 10 years' time, 15 years' time, 20 years' time, or 1 year's time. It depends on how quickly you're going to work on your goals and take the action necessary to achieve those goals. So here's the title: You Are the Master of Your Fate, the Captain of Your Soul. Because when Henley wrote the prophetic lines, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul, he should have informed us that we are the masters of our fate and the captains of our souls, because we have the power to control our thoughts. He should have told us that the ether in which this little earth floats, in which we move and our being, is a form of energy moving at an inconceivably high rate of vibration, and that the ether is filled with a form of universal power which adapts itself to the nature of the thoughts we hold in our minds and influences us in natural ways to transmute our thoughts into their physical equivalent. If the poet had told us of this great truth, we would know why it is that we are the masters of our fate, the captains of our souls. He should have told us with great emphasis that this power makes no attempt to discriminate between destructive thoughts and constructive thoughts, that it will urge us to translate into physical reality thoughts of poverty just as quickly as it will influence us to act upon thoughts of riches. He should have told us, too, that our brains become magnetized with the dominating thoughts which we hold in our minds, and by means with which no man is familiar. These magnets attract us to the forces, the people, the circumstances of life, which harmonize with the nature of our dominating thoughts. He should have told us that before we can accumulate riches in great abundance, we must magnetize our minds with intense desire for riches, that we must become money conscious until the desire for money drives us to create definite plans for acquiring it. But being a poet and not a philosopher, Henley contented himself by stating a great truth in poetic form, leaving those who followed him to interpret the philosophical meaning of his lines. Little by little, the truth has unfolded itself, until it now appears certain that the principles described in this book hold the secret of mastery over our economic fate. We are now ready to examine the first of these principles. Maintain a spirit of open-mindedness, and remember, as you listen and read this book, they are the invention of no one man. The principles were gathered from the life experiences of more than 500 men who actually accumulated riches in huge amounts. Men who began in poverty, with but little education, without influence. The principles work for these men. You can put them to work for your own enduring benefit. You will find it easy, not hard, to do. Before you read the next chapter, I want you to know that it conveys factual information which might easily change your entire financial destiny, as it has so definitely brought changes of stupendous proportions to two people described. I want you to also know that the relationship between these two men and myself is such that I could have taken no liberties with the facts, even if I had wished to do so. One of them has been my closest personal friend for almost 25 years. The other is my own son. The unusual success of these two men, success which they generously accredit to the principles described in the next chapter, more than justifies this personal reference as a means of emphasizing the far-flung power of this principle. Almost 15 years ago, I delivered the commencement address at Salem College, Salem, West Virginia. I emphasized the principle described in the next chapter with so much intensity that one of the members of the graduating class definitely appropriated it and made it a part of his own philosophy. The young man is now a member of Congress and an important factor in the present administration. Just before this book went to publisher, he wrote me a letter in which he so clearly stated his opinion of the principle outlined in the next chapter that I have chosen to publish this letter as an introduction to that chapter. It gives you an idea of rewards to come. My dear Napoleon, my service as a member of Congress having given me an insight into the problems of men and women, I am writing to offer a suggestion which may become helpful to thousands of worthy people. With apologies, I must state that the suggestion, if acted upon, will mean several years of labor and responsibility for you. But I'm enheartened to make the suggestion because I know your great love for rendering useful service. In 1922, you delivered the commencement address at Salem College when I was a member of the graduating class. In that address, you planted in my mind an idea which has been responsible for the opportunity I now have to serve the people of my state and will be responsible in a very large measure for whatever success I may have in the future. The suggestion I have in mind is that you put into a book the sum and substance of the address you delivered at Salem College, and in that way give the people of America an opportunity to profit by your many years of experience and association with the men who, by their greatness, have made America the richest nation on earth. I recall, as though it were yesterday, the marvelous description you gave of the method by which Henry Ford, with but little schooling, without a dollar, with no influential friends, rose to great heights. I made up in my mind then, even before you had finished your speech, that I would make a place for myself, no matter how many difficulties I had to surmount. Thousands of young people will finish their schooling this year, and within the next few years, every one of them will be seeking just such a message of practical encouragement as the one I received from you. They will want to know where to turn, what to do, to get started in life. You can tell them, because you have helped to solve the problems of so many, many people. If there is any possible way that you can afford to render so great a service, may I offer the suggestion that you include with every book one of your personal analysis charts, in order that the purchaser of the book may have the benefit of a complete self-inventory, indicating, as you indicated to me years ago, exactly what is standing in the way of success. Such a service as this, providing the readers of your book with a complete, unbiased picture of their faults and their virtues, would mean to them the difference between success and failure. The service would be priceless. Millions of people are now facing the problem of staging a comeback because of the depression, and I speak from personal experience when I say I know these earnest people would welcome the opportunity to tell you their problems and to receive your suggestions for the solution. You know the problems of those who face the necessity of beginning all over again? There are thousands of people in America today who would like to know how they can convert ideas into money. People who must start at scratch without finances and recoup their losses. If anyone can help them, you can. That is the end of it. And wow, I mean, talk about an incredible chapter. So many things are said here, but right off the bat for me, what a compliment, what a huge compliment that letter is to Napoleon Hill for, you know, doing a civil act, a good act. Sure, he wrote the book to make money, but because he saw himself helping other people, but really, in essence, what a tremendous legacy to leave. I mean, it almost reminds me of the future of Paul Hutchings. And kind of when you read this story, what's kind of fun about reading this story is that we're just going through a difficult time here in the United States, and hopefully people aren't starting from scratch, but a lot of people are. And the great thing about network marketing is that through duplication and redoing the same process over and over again for pittance, you can get started. And, you know, people think so much into these things. They think they have to do, you know, do all this advertising and everything else, and you don't. You just have to be you. You just have to go out, have an idea, share the idea, share the idea, share the idea, share the idea, and get other people to share the same idea, and it just grows and grows and grows and grows. This chapter has a lot of meaning for me, too. I mean, you know, back when I first started in network marketing, I didn't know hide nor hair of how to get going in the business, and I was 19 years old, and I was a brand-new stockbroker and newlywed as well. So I had a lot of things on my plate, and I remember I started in Amway. And I was completely, you know, overwhelmed with what was there to do. What was I supposed to do? And the guy that showed us the thing got up in front of a little chalkboard and filled out all this stuff. And I was like, I can't do that. And so when I go back to telling people that, you know, duplicating this business, do simple stuff. When you're showing people this business, do simple things, because you want to make it easily duplicatable. But go ahead, Paul. I'm getting off the chapter a little bit. Go ahead and
That's great. I love hearing your experiences and thoughts on this stuff. You know, as you were going through the chapter, a couple of things stuck out to me that I want to just kind of reiterate and point out. He talks about how this earth, the ether in which this little earth floats, in which we move and have our being, is a form of energy moving at an inconceivably high rate of vibration, and that the ether is filled with a form of universal power, which adapts itself to the nature of the thoughts we hold in our mind and influences us in natural ways to transmute our thoughts into their physical equivalent. And then he goes on to talk about how the people, the plans, the ideas will be literally attracted to us somehow through that ether. And I was reminded, that idea reminded me of the book The Science of Getting Rich that we went through prior to this, where Wallace Wattles talks about how the universe and the world in which we live is made up of a thinking substance, that we can impress our thoughts upon this thinking stuff and this thinking substance to cause the image of our thought to be created. And this is some deep stuff. Like the first few times I've gone through this, especially the first time, I've had a really hard time wrapping my mind around it, and I still do, because it is deep stuff to imagine that, you know, there is energy everywhere, and it is vibrating at a certain frequency, and by changing our thoughts, we can actually magnetize our thoughts with the energy that's around us. But a practical application of how I've seen this happen in my life is Bill, you're on this call. I mean, here a year and a half ago, I started this call, and also everyone on the call. You know, I hopped on the line today a few minutes to the hour, and there were 10 people on the line. We are all a living testimony of how this is playing out for me in my life, right? I mean, I started this call a year and a half ago, I had no idea what it would turn into, and somehow through my vibration of thought and the actions that my vibration of thought caused me to take, here comes Bill Hartraft, a national trainer, vast background in public speaking and success principles and network marketing, and he just basically pops up in my life through 2 degrees of separation. I met a lady named Debbie Wood, a wonderful woman, on Skype. She sponsored a lady named Jennifer Kaifesh, and Jennifer sponsored Bill. So 3 complete degrees of separation. I didn't know Bill. I had no idea who he was, where he was, didn't know anything about him. But somehow, through these principles, I believe the magnetizing of the thought, the energy, the vibration, somehow we have been attracted to each other. And here we are, you know, on this call together with everyone on the line. It's pretty amazing. Do you kind of agree, Bill? Have you noticed how people, things, ideas, plans are attracted to you as you work on your thoughts?
Well, absolutely, Paul. I mean, it's truly incredible. I mean, you go back to Jennifer Kaifesh and Debbie Wood, and I've known those ladies for a little while because they were in other companies and trying to recruit me in those companies. And it's funny, I asked them who you were, and I said, you know, I need to get in touch with real leaders in this company, and because I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of things that I want to add and help with this business and help grow this business and help grow this company down the right roads, because there are lots of companies out there that try to get started in this business and they don't do very well. And they don't do very well because they don't do well based on their concepts, on their goals, on their mission plan. A lot of it is focused around money and not people. And people are our most valuable asset in this business, not the money. The money will come. But remember, success comes from within first. And, you know, you talk about being magnetized. It goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. We were talking about programming and mm-hmm. how we're all programmed from an early age. Remember, when your child, when Cashton was born, Cashton had no idea about anything, no nothing. And so all his concepts and all everything that he's going to learn will all be programmed by his father, his mother, and all his surroundings, his siblings, and so on. And you go through the different things, the different problems of life, and you go through the good things of life, and all that programming will be programmed into that baby's mind. And so we're all born the same. We're all born absolutely the same. It's our programming later on in life that changes us. It either sets mm-hmm. us up for thinking, having dominating thoughts, just like the chapter says, of negative and difficult things. I've been through many more challenges than the average man should have to go through. I've been through many more challenges than most men go through, period, in their one single lives. My best friend likes to say, Bill's been through 10 men's challenges. And yet you'd think that I would have a negative outlook, a negative programming. And I don't. It's just the opposite, actually, because I've had to use positive thoughts to get through all those negative challenges. So back to your question, Paul. Yeah, I mean, I was attracted to you because of your positive outlook, and I wanted to get in touch with leaders. And everybody kept saying Paul Hutchings, so I went to you. That's it.
Yeah, and a lot of other experiences. My primary network marketing company was literally attracted into my life. When I set my major definite purpose here a year and a half ago, I was in another company. I had no idea how I was going to get to my goal, and it literally just came into my life. The company came into my life. Bill and many other people have literally just come into my life, and, I don't like to be all mystical and magical about things, but there is, I guarantee you, there is something to this stuff where you magnetize your mind, you set up in your mind what you're going to achieve, and you work on these principles, and I promise you, the word that comes to mind is miracles. Miracles happen, and Napoleon Napoleon says in here, there are no miracles. They only appear to be as miracles because we don't understand the laws of how God works. And that may be true. I don't know. But I do know that things do happen when we apply this stuff. Just another couple of quick points. I love how he points out that these principles have worked for over 500 men who accumulated riches in huge amounts. People who began in poverty with but little education, without influence, the principles worked for these men. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter if you're completely broke. It doesn't matter if you're jobless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This stuff will work for every single person on this line. And as Bill pointed out, it is interesting as we go through this book. At the time Napoleon wrote this book, they were in a depression, you know, one of the first, well, the Great Depression of the United States. And it's interesting the parallels that we see between where we are now in our country today and in our world today. We are in a depression. We are in a similar time frame, although maybe not quite as hard up. I still believe we do have a lot of comforts and things, but we are in a tough financial spot, and these principles are what is going to save us. These principles, when we learn to be self-reliant, when we learn to have these major definite purposes, when we learn to take action, when we learn to have plans, when we learn to mastermind and connect with other people, and we learn persistence, all of these things, these principles are what, these are the principles that are going to save us and get us personally out of the situation we're in. And as a country, if we really want to do things on a grand scale, and move our country forward and get out of this funk that we're in, guess what's going to – it's these things that we're learning on this call. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the line here. Okay. Everyone's unmuted. Any comments, questions, guys and gals?
I think it's some stuff that seems to be pondered upon today. Because it's a chapter that needs to be pondered upon today, because I think you're correct about, you know, people coming into your lives. I was in another networking, and it's funny that I came across this one, and then I run into great mentors like Paul and Bill and a great help group on Facebook, and things just keep happening.
Miracles. Miracles. Let me, I'm going to, I apologize. Okay, press star 6 to unmute your line. That'll clean the lines up so that we can hear. Star 6 will unmute your line if you want to talk.
Okay, did you hear that, Paul?
There you go. You sound a lot better. Sorry about that.
Did you hear what I said?
You said it's a chapter that needs to be pondered upon, and you're noticing things happening in your life, right? The attraction and people and mentors and groups.
Yes, that's correct. Things just keep coming, and I keep running into people that are growing, and like I've just run into 24. Like I was saying, the great mentors like Paul and Bill and the group that I've run into on Facebook, I have no clue where all those people came from, but they're awesome. And all these things just keep showing up. Yes, it's a miracle.
It is a miracle. You know, Paul and I talked early this morning before the call, and while he was calling me, I was writing a letter to somebody who contacted me on Facebook and says, geez, you know, you seem so excited lately. What's going on in your life that you're so excited? And you see, that's somebody that's being pulled, being magnetized, being attracted to the positiveness and the excitability that I have in my life because of what I'm doing. People are drawn to that, and that's what we're trying to tell you guys, is that if you approach people with, you know, excited about what you're doing and showing, you know, all these positive things and just feeling good about yourself, and go out there and talk to people, people are going to be drawn to you. It's going to be automatic. People are attracted to that. People, just like I was drawn to Paul when I first was introduced to this business, I wanted to know who the top dog was. I wanted to know what kind of a leader he was, whether he had the spirit behind him or not. And he did, and he does. And I was attracted to that and drawn to that. And so I needed to speak to this guy. And it's just like all these people coming to you and wanting to be with you. And it's just like what's happening to me this morning. So, yeah, this is all part of what we read about in this chapter just now.
And I have another thought, too. You know, we think that we're in other networking companies and they were failures and you've moved along. But were they really failures or were they learning lessons that have grown?
Well, failures are stepping stones. Whether a company, if you're in a company and the company decides to change their whole marketing plan and takes away, like it happened to Paul, 2/3 of your income, that to me is a company that's revamping its ways, but it really hurts the individual networker. And so you figure all that work you put in is now, you know, 2/3 of it is gone. I talk as failures as stepping stones. Yeah, every single failure is a stepping stone, a learned mistake. In other words, you learn from those mistakes and you move up, you move on.
Yeah, and they're really an asset. I mean, really, truly, they're an asset, especially when you look at them in the light that Napoleon Hill paints, where he talks about some of our greatest successes in life come from what appear to be our greatest failures. And he also says that that success is a trickster with a keen sense of irony, that it takes great delight in tripping one when success is almost within reach. And that's truly how I see quote unquote failures. I mean, they're really failure is a trickster, and if you look at it in the right light and plow through it and take what you can from it, magical, wonderful, stupendous things I have found are usually on the other side of what appears to be a great obstacle, a great setback.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Marcia.
How are you? Well, I just want to say that I completely agree with you. I don't think you would be in this position if you didn't go to the setbacks in other companies. Because in my opinion, I have been, you know, in other ones, and you're by far the best leader I have ever seen, you know. And I met like nationals and the top, and your integrity, your enthusiasm, and your wisdom that you share with us, I haven't seen that yet in any other company. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm humbled. Thank you very much. I think she just topped the greatest. You gave me the greatest compliment I'd ever received up to yesterday, and Marcia just topped it. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Very
well.
Kind.
That is true. You know, it is. It. I say, well, since it seems like you were almost perfect. You know, well, when he's going to make a mistake, you know. Your standard is very high.
Well, Paul has plenty of imperfections
that you
don't know about
yet. I'm going to introduce you to my wife, Marcia, so that you can know that I am not perfect.
Well, I'm not talking about that.
Paul and Bill.
I'm talking about networking marketing.
Hi, this is Greg.
Spouses keep us grounded.
Hey, Greg.
Hi. I'm a new PC.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good this morning. I had a quick comment question, Bill, on something you had said about how all babies are born the same and they're all a result of their programming as to why they're really the only difference. And also you've stated that positiveness is absolutely essential, and when you have it, you attract everything you want. But a lot of us, let me back up. No baby chooses how to get programmed. So how
That's
do you
right.
get out of the negative programmed mindsets that are subliminally, subconsciously controlling you? I mean, or else you wouldn't be in a low negative position, and just flip that switch and turn it over to positive.
Well, you know, Greg, that's an excellent question, and I've struggled with that most of my life because I have been subjected to one thing after the other. It seems like I only get a 2-year period of recovery before the next major challenge in my life happens, whether it's, drinking parents or divorce or just house burning down to the ground or finding out that I was paralyzed from the waist down after a wrestling accident or just numerous things I could go into that personally has affected me over my life. Losing my best friend, fiance to breast cancer in 2007. I mean, it just one after the other, I've had these things to go through. So with all these challenges, I've looked to the books. I've gone back to The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz. I've gone to Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I have programming through the kazoo of negativeness in my life. But each time I've gotten through those things, probably the longest period of time that I've had to deal with major challenges is the assault in 1996. I was the victim of a carjacking, completely random assault. But they busted me up good. My jaw was broken in 3 different places. My back was broken in 3 different places. Doctors said I could never speak again. My maxillofacial surgeon said, no way can you be a professional speaker ever again. You won't be able to handle it. And I said, I made it up in my mind at that time that I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. It was my defining purpose to find a way back to be able to use my mouth without getting headaches, to be able to use my jaw, whatever surgeries it was going to take, whatever I needed to do, whatever it takes, I was going to figure it out. And so I guess sometimes you have to ask people, what is their bottom? Where was their bottom in their lives? Where was, if they're in a programming of negativity all the time, ask them where their bottom was and what did they do to get out of that bottom? And I can name several of mine, but you're asking about any individual, and you have to ask them, what did they do to get out from under that bottom, whatever that bottom was for them? And for me, I plugged into motivational tapes, motivational audios, motivational books. I plugged into people that I saw were getting ahead, and I wasn't, so I plugged into those people. I surrounded myself with positive people. I listened to my ministers. I went to lots of different people. I kept searching out. You have to continue to search out all the positives that you possibly can, and that's what I did. And through all that hurt and through all that heartache, through all that trouble, I managed to build 7 multimillion dollar businesses, and 5 of them that were extremely successful, 2 that weren't. And you have to continue to search out positive things, positive people, positive triggers. But great question, Greg, and there's no real answer to it except to keep searching out the positive and being pulled to those positives. Eventually, you can turn around that negative programming.
If I might be able to add just a little bit to that, Greg,
sure.
That's a fabulous question, and I think the number one thing you need to do, or that everyone needs to do, is realize that the greatest of all human freedoms is the freedom to choose. And yes, environment has an impact. Yes, we're programmed by family and social circles and the TV and the media and the government and the advertising companies. All of these things play into our programming, but one of the best days you can ever have in your life is the day that you realize that, hey, I choose. I have the ability to choose what my beliefs are. I have the ability to decide what I'm going to believe and how I'm going to be programmed. And then once you understand that, the next step is to understand how beliefs are formed. And then you start to form your own beliefs. And the way a belief is formed is that it starts out with an idea, and then what happens is you find reference points to back up that idea. And the best analogy I've ever seen was from Anthony Robbins, where he said it's like a table. An idea is like a tabletop, and then when you find references to back up that idea, you start to put legs under the table, where pretty soon it becomes a very firm table that can't be broken. And So what I do in my life that's been very powerful for me, and it started with the major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula, and it's expanded from there, is I literally have a document that I read on a daily basis, or I record myself and listen to it every morning when I'm in the gym or every night before I go to bed. And it's a document that has my major definite purpose, my self-confidence formula, and a list of ideas that I'm working on turning into beliefs. And what'll happen is an idea that's repeated again and again and again stays at the top of your mind, and you will naturally in your life look for reference points. And I'll just give you one example. A lot of people have the belief that age is terrible, that growing up is debilitating, that your body starts falling apart, and it's just a bad, bad thing. And I guarantee you talk to people and you listen to people and you'll hear that belief come out in their conversation. Well, I'm working on a belief that says, I accept age as a great blessing that brings with it wisdom, understanding that's not known to you, something like that. So as I'm growing, I'm working on internalizing that belief, and I'm looking for reference points to back it up. And in my life, I see that I'm growing in understanding, I'm growing in wisdom, and that couldn't happen to me without age. So that belief, that idea is starting to become a belief, and it's a process. But I think that's the best technology, is have a document listing the beliefs that you want to have. And naturally, as you start to pay attention to your beliefs, you'll start to notice them in your own mind. What are my beliefs? Are they false? Are they accurate? And you'll also start to notice them in other people. You'll become sensitized to where when you're talking to people, you'll say to yourself, that's a false belief. That's a false belief. Do I have that belief? Do I want to have that belief? Is that belief empowering or is it disempowering? And this is the best technology that I found that's allowing me to literally program myself and stop being programmed by my environment. So for what that's worth, I really think that's a powerful way to do it.
In simple terms, Greg, in simple terms, just talk to whomever you're talking to and find out where they've come from, what their bottom is, how they came back from that bottom, what they did, and use Paul's ideas, use my ideas. The main thing is have a mission statement. If you have a mission statement that you can repeat over and over again, those beliefs and those truths will become true.
That's
absolutely.
Thanks, you guys. And I would just say one more thing, that it seems to me that a positive person that has their mission statement and is going to succeed and going to overcome can overcome any obstacle and any setback and any suffering. But what if the negative person who can't even get a spark of positivity going because they're trapped in a programming, and what you guys are telling me is basically you got to take control. You have to write down a mission statement and go against the grain of your own brain and start slow by repeating the same mission statement over and over until it begins to take hold.
Yes. That's exactly right.
You know, I could go into talk in length about this. And Greg, if you Facebook me on Facebook, I have a sign on my Facebook site. Is this Greg Masantri?
No, my name is Greg Shupaw. I'm new.
Okay, Greg, if you Facebook me, I have a sign on Facebook that says you've never really lived until you've done something for somebody else that you can never repay. And go on Facebook. My name is Bill Hartran. Facebook me. I would love to talk to you more in length about this because it's not appropriate necessarily to go into it on this call. But I know what it's like to deal with people that are stuck in that negative programming. And I do have some thoughts and some ideas to help people get out of that negative programming. I've been there. I know what it's like.
Thanks a lot,
so
you
Facebook
guys.
Facebook me. Yeah,
okay.
Facebook me, and I'd be more than happy to help.
Thank you, Bill.
You bet.
All right. Well, listen, great discussion, everyone. I'm going to close the call out. I know that we've all got places to go and things to do. Let's get out there. Let's have faith. Let's take action. Let us be conscious of our thoughts and our words. Let us look for beliefs that we want to have. Let us reinforce them. Let us take charge and program our own brains and magnetize them for success. That's what this call is all about. I love you guys. Thanks for the discussion. Bill, as always, tremendous job. Thank you so much. Let's get out and make a great day. Take care, guys. See you back here tomorrow.
God bless.